March Madness starts today. Millions are expected to watch over the next few weeks as 64 teams vie for the NCAA Men's College Basketball Championship. It's likely that a good number of fans will have a vested interest in the outcome. That's because they're part of an office pool. This annual workplace ritual got NPR's Sonari Glinton wondering, is it actually legal?
If you think you can't get into any trouble after filling out your college basketball brackets, well, you'd be wrong. First of all, if it's an office pool, many companies ban any kind of gambling. That's trouble. Then there's the law.
The legality of NC2A bracket contest in offices is really dependent upon state law.
Tony Cabot has been practicing gaming law for more than 30 years. He says most run-of-the-mill pools are okay. If you're running the office pool, that's where it gets dicey, especially if you're taking a percentage for running it.
You're almost certainly violating the law then. Virtually every state prohibits somebody from conducting these types of gambling activities where they're receiving profits for operating the gambling activity.
Rethinking those brackets yet? Tom Dart is the sheriff of Cook County, Illinois, a place that's no stranger to vice.
In the area of vice, we are so busy, I would have to have my head examined if I was chasing around office pools.
So Sheriff Tom Dart says you may not have too much to worry about with him, but
I really think they have much more to worry about with an IRS investigation, because if you do hit it big and you walk away with a lot of money and you happen to get audited and it turns out that you never declared it as income, that's a problem.
Tony Cabot says the sheriff is right.
If you do win, you should always make sure that you pay your necessary taxes.
Are you a part of a pool for NCAA?
I'm involved in a non-monetary pool.
A non-monetary pool. Who do you have going all the way?
I have Kansas.
Oh. I'll see you there, the Final Four.
There you go.
All right, folks. Have fun and pay your taxes. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
France is reeling from a recent documentary about a psychological experiment disguised as a game show. Researchers staged a fictitious reality show to see how far people would go in obeying authority, especially if that authority is backed up by television. Eleanor Beardsley reports from Paris.
Madame, Monsieur, bonsoir, bienvenue.
The fictitious game show had all the trappings of a real TV quiz show, a beautiful and well-known hostess, a raucous audience. The game centered around a group of contestants who asked questions to a man sitting inside a box in front of them in an electric chair.
Le châtiment électrique, tout de suite.
The players had levers in front of them and were urged by the hostess and a chanting audience to send jolts of electricity into the man in the box when he got a question wrong. But even when the player screamed out in pain for them to stop, 80% of the contestants kept zapping him. The man in the electric chair was, of course, only an actor who wasn't really being shocked, but the players and the audience did not know that. Christophe Nick produced the documentary called The Game of Death with a group of scientists and researchers.
Most of us think we have free thinking, and so we are responsible of our act. This experience shows that in certain circumstances, a power, the TV in this case, is able to make you do something you don't want to do.
The idea that there is something deeply rooted in the human psyche that makes most of us unable to resist authority is not new. The French documentary was based on an American experiment carried out in the 1960s by psychologist Stanley Milgram.
You can't stand it. I'm not going to kill that man.
The French documentary included footage of the Milgram experiment. It showed participants delivering what they believed were electric shocks to a man every time he answered a question incorrectly. 60% of them obeyed the sadistic orders to the letter.
Incorrect. Continue, please.
Sociologist Jean-Claude Kaufmann says the higher French percentage of 80% shows that the manipulative power of television further increases people's willingness to obey. This experiment combines Milgram's use of authority with the power of live television, and it becomes so powerful, says Kaufman. Television talk shows have been ruminating over the documentary all day. Comparisons are being drawn to the manipulation of the masses in Nazi Germany. One of the game show participants, Jérôme Pazano, said he was still haunted by the experience.
I wanted to stop the whole time, but I just couldn't. I didn't have the will to do it. And that goes against my nature. I really haven't figured out why I did it.
Pazano said he felt intimidated and isolated on the TV set and that the crowd was overbearing. Let's just look at your performance, says the talk show host as he pulls up the footage of Pazano pumping 460 volts of electricity into the contestant until he seems to keel over dead. And you've won, yells the game show hostess. The documentary makers say reality television relies increasingly on violent, humiliating, and cruel acts to boost ratings. They say they simply wanted to see if we would go so far as to kill someone for entertainment. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
Once upon a time, about half a century ago, thousands of American boys and girls were buying and wearing coonskin caps. They did it so they could be like Davy Crockett and like the actor who played him, Fess Parker.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, green estate in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so's he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
Fess Parker died today. He played the Tennessee frontiersman in the 1950s Disney TV show that restored Davy Crockett to prominence as a national hero, a hunter politician who always had his trusty rifle, Old Betsy, at his side.
Said Old Betsy will reach.
The show was a huge hit, especially with kids. The theme song made it to number one in 1955. And the show touched off a merchandising powder keg to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And for a while, Davy Crockett coonskin caps and rifles and lunchboxes were everywhere. Parker went on to play the dad in Old Yeller, and he put on the cap again a few years later to play Daniel Boone on television.
In later years, Parker opened a family winery and vineyards in California. Fess Parker was 85. His family says he died of natural causes.
Fought single-handed through the Indian War till the Creeks was whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, the man who don't know fear. He went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so I heard tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy, Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. When he come home, his politicking was done. Why, the Western March had just begun. So he packed his gear and his trusty gun and lit out a grinning to follow the sun. Davy, Davy Crockett, leading the pioneer.
The death of actor Fess Parker yesterday generated lots of memories for baby boomers. He portrayed frontiersman Davy Crockett, whose coonskin cap and movie prop rifle and adventures on the American frontier captivated young TV viewers from the 1950s. Well, they're all grown now, and we found many of them here in Washington, D.C. today, and they had plenty of fond memories to share.
Yeah, everybody went out and bought those coonskin caps. You had the old flintlock muskets, or they sold in the stores and everything.
The thing that I remember most is the song. Davy Crockett.
It was Davy Crockett.
Home of the Frontier, something like that.
I don't remember it. I just remember the tune.
Yeah, it was actually, I think, bigger than Elvis because it affected everybody.
I had a coonskin hat with a tail.
Some kids wore them to school.
The tail was snapped on with a little snap, and my brother came and grabbed it and tried to pull it off, and the tail went flying one way, and I was wearing the just a little round fur hat.
Woo, woo!
Everybody took turns being Davy Crockett. You played in the neighborhood with the guys after school.
Hunt the bars or whatever you were doing. Frontier was a large Catholic seminary two blocks away that had a wooded area, and that was the closest we got to the frontier.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee.
Da, 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 da. I can't remember the words.
Davy Crockett, king of the...
Davy Crockett.
King of the wild frontier.
King of the wild frontier.
Etc., etc., Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
Baby boomers recalling the Davy Crockett craze of the 1950s. The actor who portrayed him on TV, Fess Parker, died yesterday at age 85. We heard from Kathy O'Neill of Massachusetts, Thomas Maxwell of Washington, D.C., Sean Hamlin of Australia, Ed and Claire Robertson of Indiana, Jim O'Leary of Maine, Lawrence Burns of Tennessee.
Also, Bill Steyert of New York, Dell and Marianne Benner of Pennsylvania, John and Jenny Craigs of the U.K., Guy and Peggy Fisher of Delaware, Mike Durning of New Jersey, Bob Esposito of New York, and Bill Coleman of Maryland.
Took over Washington, so I heard tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. When he come home.